We know that there's a mitzvah of lo samar adam riecha. We shouldn't stand idly by the blood of our friend, meaning when someone is in danger, we are allowed to do what we can to protect people from harm. And that would even supersede the prohibition of lashon hara and of saying bad about someone. However, when we have to spread negative news about someone for a constructive purpose, it's very important to keep in mind seven principles. There are seven conditions of lashon hara that the Chafetz Chaim provide in Klal Yud Os Beis. And so we're going to go through those seven conditions and then provide a few examples of how these conditions play out in certain common examples. So the first is you have to clarify the facts. It can't be based on hearsay, as the Chafetz Chaim writes, V'lo de'ishmiya me'acherim. It can't be simply that you heard from other people. You have to clarify the facts yourself. You're allowed to, though, say that this is what you heard and clarify to someone. Let's say if you can't verify that the facts are true. So you can clarify that I heard from 10 people that this happened. I haven't independently verified. So that might be okay. But to assert that something is definitely true without clarifying the facts, that would not satisfy this condition. And the second condition is that you have to clarify that the halacha is such that the person acted inappropriately. For example, maybe someone took someone else's property, but maybe he was trying to get back the property which was stolen from him. Maybe someone got upset at someone else. Reuven got very upset at Shimon, and you saw that Reuven was very upset at Shimon, and he spoke perhaps some choice words to Shimon, but then you later found out that this is perhaps he was justified because of something that Shimon did to Reuven. So in other words, you have to, number one, not only clarify the facts, but also clarify the halacha. The third condition is that you have to try to rebuke the sinner first, even if you know the facts are true and the halacha is such that the person acted badly. You need to, if you can, speak to the perpetrator first, and maybe he will do tshuva. In other words, if you can avoid having to tell someone else about this person and just confront the individual himself, that's preferred from spreading lashon hara, if you believe that's possible. A fourth condition is you should not exaggerate. For example, if you were to say, oh, this person is always late. No, he was late 3 times last month to work. But he's not always late. You have to be very precise to not exaggerate. The fifth condition is, this is a very difficult one, you have to intend that you have a constructive purpose. Sometimes, let's say you enter into a business agreement with someone and the person cheats you and you're warning someone else about this person. And let's say another person wants to enter into a business with the first person. So you have to have the proper intentions. That's hard because sometimes it's natural to want to get back at the first person, but you're not supposed to do that. You have to have proper intentions. You're just doing this to protect another person. A sixth condition is that if you can achieve your goal, your purpose, without speaking lashon hara, that's better. And a seventh condition, that you shouldn't cause harm to the person who did this negative act more than he would have lost in a court of law. So how do these conditions play out in some common examples? So for example, like I said, if you are warning someone about a potential business partner, you have to, don't exaggerate, have the right intentions. Also, maybe he's not fit to enter into a business partnership in one line of business, but another one he is. So you have to make sure that you're very precise in terms of the negative information that you tell someone else. Another example could be review of student or employee performance. Again, it has to be based on data, not exaggeration. If, let's say, I have a student that is not performing up to par, before speaking to an administrator, maybe speak to the student first and try to get the student to improve without having to tell someone else negative information if I can achieve that goal with the student. On the flip side, sometimes it's hard based on an imbalance of power. If a student has an issue with me, a teacher, then it's probably hard for the student to confront me because it's uncomfortable. There's an imbalance of power. So then it might be appropriate to go straight to, administrator or a parent if there's an issue. That's because it's uncomfortable if there's an imbalance of power. But I think when a teacher has an issue with the student, the preferred option is first to approach the student before speaking to someone else and see if they can address the situation that way. When it comes to shiduchim, the big question is obviously a broad topic. The question is there value to spreading the negative information now? if there's an objective concern about the shidduch that's not obvious, then you're required to disclose with the conditions listed, with all the seven conditions that I mentioned. Let's say the person has a serious unknown sickness, a violent personality, they engage in pritzis or apikorsis, something that's very serious, and no objective person would want to get married to that person. There's value telling it right now. However, if there's an issue which is significant but not necessarily a deal breaker to the shidduch, but it would prejudice the shidduch at the outset, then you can wait to disclose the information until the relationship develops. For example, Moshe Feinstein in Orach Chaim, Chelek Dalad Simon Kuf Yud Ches, speaks about a woman who was previously intimate with another man, and maybe you don't have to disclose that information right away. Perhaps not a medical issue, but not a very serious unknown illness. Let's say a person is diabetic. You may not have to tell that, disclose the information right away. Rav Schachter said that regarding condition six, that if you can get to your goal without speaking lashon hara, that's better. So let's say, for example, someone asks you if you recommend a certain shidduch, and you know there's something negative about this person. If it's possible, and you would ask the person, "What are you looking for in a soulmate or in a partner in marriage?" and the person tells you, and you say, "Well, you know, now your interests don't align." If you can achieve that goal of breaking up the shidduch of not without spreading lashon hara, then that would be preferred. Other issues could one final common example is posting reviews of vendors. Posting reviews of vendors and service providers on social media. So let's say you have a bad experience at a restaurant. It's not fraudulent, but just something negative. The waiter or the waitress was a little negligent that day. So you had a $20 meal and it wasn't so good, and for whatever reason. So now so if your friend asks you how was your experience, so you're allowed to share it potentially to tell the friend, you know, that try to protect them from losing $20 or whatever food they're going to spend on a meal. If you tell them, you know, it could have been a bad day, but this is what happened to me in my own experience. However, to post something online, which could cause, and let's say you're somewhat of an influencer, to cause a lot of people to stop going to that restaurant, so that might be an issue, because that might be a violation of condition number seven, that you're causing more harm that the person would lose had you taken the person to basin. So these are just some common examples where we find that the conditions need to be fulfilled when you legitimately, based on considerations of lo samar al dam reyacha, are sharing negative information about someone.